It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, September 1st. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. As some students are enjoying their last day of freedom before heading back to school, we're kicking off a week-long series on how technology is changing an ancient and fundamental human process, reading. We'll be talking to librarians, authors, academics, but today we're going to hear from our own Adrian Hill, who's been reporting on education and technology for Marketplace's Learning Curve project. Adrian's been looking at a specific area for us, tablets as tools in the classroom for reading and other subjects. Billions of dollars are being spent on tablets, school districts are rolling out new programs for them, and the legal system is trying to determine who does and who doesn't get to use them. But do they actually work? Hi, Adrian. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
How many kids these days, school kids, are using tablets?
You know, studies out there vary. I've seen estimates between a quarter and 60% of kids have access to tablets, depending on their age. I mean, these are coming from parents, but also from schools. Schools are buying millions of tablets. They're shelling out billions of dollars for educational technology.
What are these tablets being used for?
Well, on the educational side, all sorts of classroom subjects, everything from math to social studies to history, science. There's research out there that some of the most popular educational apps are actually geared for reading and literacy.
It's interesting that some of this stuff is just for reading and literacy. What do we know about using tablets as teaching tools?
Well, we know that kids like tablets and tech. They're just fun, and they can be more engaging than traditional teaching tools. Here's Michael Levine from the Joan Gantz Cooney Center at Sesame Workshop. It's a mouthful. He's done a lot of work on technology and reading.
Flashcards and the boring stuff are much less interesting than, you know, apps or the kinds of interactive technologies that allow kids to get a passion about something.
And he says passion goes a long way when you're talking about kids learning. Technology is also personalizable. You can sort of gear it to an individual kid and what they know and what they don't know. And the hope is that tech can address some of the really deep problems with education right now. You know, only a third of fourth graders in this country have reading skills that are considered proficient.
Yeah, but can technology and tablets actually change that?
They can play a part. What Levine says you don't want to do is just hand a kid a tablet and walk away.
The most important thing is that the early literacy development of our children is supported by caring, loving, sensitive, and responsive adults.
So tech can be an awesome tool, but it doesn't let us parents or teachers out there off the hook. We're the ones most important for teaching these kids.
Marketplace's Adrian Hill. Adrian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can find Adrian's coverage and lots more from Marketplace's Education and Tech Reporting Project at marketplace.org/learningcurve. It may be Labor Day, but there are lots of people who are on the job in the restaurant industry, as well as plenty of customers looking for a good spot to chow down. Those customers are hoping that wherever they eat, they don't regret it. And in the city of Chicago, health officials are trying out a new program to protect people against food poisoning. It's a computer program, more specifically one that mines Twitter for telltale signs of people who got sick eating at certain restaurants, and it sends this information to government inspectors. From Chicago, Nova Safa reports.
On Chicago's Restaurant Row, Jonathan Alvin just sat down at a patio table for a hearty dinner.
This is chicken and waffles.
The huge plate of food in front of him is an article of faith of sorts. That's because just days earlier, Alvin got food poisoning from another restaurant.
The food was, it felt okay going down, but then later, you know, it's just a nightmare.
Not so great.
No, not so great at all.
Did you go to the doctor?
I didn't.
And did you report it to the city?
I didn't report it to the city either.
And that, in a nutshell, is the problem facing public health officials.
We know that the majority of foodborne illnesses never end up getting reported to public health.
That's Bashar Shuker. He heads Chicago's public health department. Shuker is an avid Twitter user, so he wondered, who's complaining about food poisoning online? He put together a Twitter feed on his iPad to find out.
So if you look here, this is the original feed that I've created that looked at all tweets that are geocoded to Chicago that include reference to food poisoning. This one was 17 minutes ago. This was 23 minutes ago. This is 1 hour ago.
That's a lot of tweets, and at the beginning, Shaker would sift through them all. But that's time-consuming, so he employed volunteer coders to create a self-learning algorithm. It alerts officials only when someone's Twitter post has just the right combination of wording, suggesting that a restaurant needs inspection.
We automatically reach out to this individual and say, hey, we're sorry you're sick. If you answer these few questions, we will do an investigation.
Last year, the Twitter algorithm led to 21 restaurants being closed down and 33 others cited for major violations. Earlier in August, Chicago officials published a report touting their success, and now Boston and New York are looking at the idea. Shaker says the number of Twitter complaints is growing as their application gets ever smarter.
And at what point do these apps get too smart?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
A diplomatic answer. After all, the algorithms are probably listening. In Chicago, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And before we go, Microsoft's MSN Messenger, later rebranded as Windows Live Messenger, started 15 years ago in 1999. It was one of the first of its kind. As recently as 2009, Microsoft said the service had over 300 million monthly users, which is a solid number for a service like that. But its last customers in China will be cut off from the service next month. It's got lots of competition these days, and within the company, it was rendered redundant when Microsoft bought Skype. A reminder that messaging services don't live forever. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.